Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl has joined us.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everybody.
Yeah. Steve, you look very bright. Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about intellect. I'm talking about your shirt.
Yeah, this is my shirt of many colors. Chris tried to sell me into slavery today. I got here, threw me in a pit, but I climbed out. I'm good to go.
You climbed out. Okay, so folks, if you don't get the obvious Bible reference, just go to the book of Genesis.
There you go.
You'll see what Steve is talking about. All right, Steve.
It has not been a very auspicious start in Paris. So the Olympics officially open on Friday, tomorrow night, but a lot of the tournament type things like tennis and soccer particularly have already started some of the matches. And very first match, Argentina-Morocco, had to be delayed for 2 hours as fans protested a goal that was allowed and threw stuff on the field, and they had to take the teams off the field and everything. So there's a big scandal about that.
This is soccer chaos?
Soccer chaos.
I'm shocked. Yeah,
in Europe?
Yeah.
Soccer chaos.
Yeah,
and already two teams, the Argentine soccer team and the Australian Olympic cycling team, their equipment has been stolen. Someone broke into the vans that they were using one of them took off with a lot of stuff, including a massage table that the team brings with them so they can, you know.
Yeah, for injuries. And,
yeah.
So this is in Paris?
Yes.
Wow. So both of those have had their equipment stolen?
Yep.
I can't. Listen, it's always infuriating to have something stolen. That's only happened to me once that I can think of my whole life. It's frustrating. It's infuriating. But if you've practiced for years for the Olympics and now maybe won't be able to participate because some thief broke into your van, that's terrible.
Nothing that says they're probably able to participate. They just have to, you know, like maybe find some new uniforms or whatever else was stolen at this point.
Now, like I gotta bikes, tell you, right? You said bikes too.
The cycling team.
Oh, cycling team.
I don't know that the bikes were stolen.
Ah, okay. All right. I see what you're
Australian
saying.
Australian Olympic cycling team fell victim to theft in Paris. Cyclist Logan Martin revealed the thieves smashed the passenger seat window of their van. They not only stole a wallet, but also made off with various equipment, including a physiotherapist's massage table.
Okay. All right. I misunderstood what you were saying. That's not quite the catastrophe I was thinking. But
well,
still.
Okay. So, speaking of, I got to say this is what we talk about. This is not a good start, but it's not tragic. I saw across my Twitter feed came a video that Hamas put out, they're threatening to blow up the Olympics, literally, because they're allowing Jews to compete and everything.
Right.
And they punctuated the video with the guy holding up a severed head, a real live severed head.
Well, a real severed head from a I'm not trying to be funny, from a once living person.
Yeah. They had killed and taken the head off, and he just so
the religion of peace.
Well, and I'm just saying, I'm a little nervous about what's going on in Paris these days. It's just, this world is on edge right now. America's not the only place that is having tensions.
You know,
certainly in France, the Muslim conflicts that are going on.
Fred, some of our younger listeners might not remember this, but we three older people, we remember the 1972 Olympics in Munich, Germany.
Yeah, what happened with the Jewish team there.
Yeah.
And Steve
executed something.
Yes, Steve is exactly right. I'm nervous about what could happen given the tensions. There have been tensions for years, and I'm talking recent years, between the Muslim population in Paris, which is quite significant. They do noon prayers. They shut down a whole area of the city in Paris. And Paris police are reluctant to go in there. We've had Islamic terrorist activity in France in recent years. And I know the Jewish team, knowing how Israel protects its people, the security will be excellent.
They're not using the Secret Service, I can tell you that.
Yes. So, yeah, I'll be glad when the athletes go safely home.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just a very – Paris, unfortunately, is a very vulnerable area.
It is. And I'm just looking up. I just Googled, so I don't have a lot of time to get any more specifics than what I'm about to say. But Muslims make up 10 to 15% of Paris and the metropolitan area. So some of the suburbs and stuff outside of Paris, 10 to 15% of the area's population. And that comes to, number-wise, 1.7 million Muslims. Mm-hmm. So let me just say this. Obviously, none of us here believes that all those Muslims, 1.7 million, are terrorists.
No.
But 1.7 million, you can take 3% or 0.5% of that, mm-hmm. and you've got an awful lot of people.
Yes.
Who could do an awful lot of damage.
And they're just as upset about what's going on in Israel and Gaza right now as anybody here, too.
Right.
So, tensions again.
Yes, you're talking about the protesters in D.C.
The protesters in D.C., which we can if you haven't already talked about, I think you have, but those kind of protests are going on around the world.
Yeah. All right, so good point. I'm with you guys. I'm with you fellers. I am nervous about the Paris Olympics. Let me just say this one thing and then we'll move on. A lot of times in a lot of years when the Olympics, it's every 4 years, summer and then winter, they're on a staggered schedule. But there's always, some tension somewhere. And we always seem to be, the world is always seems to be able to get through with the Olympics without much in the way of the political tensions boiling over at the Olympics. I'm not so sure we'll get away with it this year because the tensions are that high. So, we'll listen, folks, pray because these are innocent, for the most part, I'm sure, innocent young people who have nothing to do with whatever's making people angry on either side
of
issues X, Y, and Z. They just want to perform and do well for their country. So we don't want anything to happen to any of them, the Jewish athletes, Muslim athletes, everyone in between.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So we have our first session of Congress since Kamala Harris has been anointed the leading, the presumptive nominee of the Democrat Party. And Republicans, they introduced a measure to condemn Kamala Harris for her border czar role. Now, that's a political move, I'm sure, that they just wanted to get on the record and point out her terrible record down there. But you know what's interesting? Six Democrats voted along with all the Republicans.
These are Democrats in areas that have been hit hard.
Representative Jared Golden of Maine. So I don't know how hard Maine has been hit.
Wow, that's interesting.
Marie Glusenkamp Perez of Washington. Mary Petola of Alaska, Henry Cuellar of Texas, Don Davis of North Carolina, and Yadira Carrero of Colorado.
Well, I know Cuellar is there on the border,
yeah.
his mm-hmm. district. I am surprised. You got Alaska, you got Washington, you got Maine.
This is interesting. Alaska's a red state. North Carolina is also kind of a red state. I'm betting Washington isn't, but I'm betting these are competitive districts.
But, you know, Texas Governor Abbott has made a good point early on in all of this. Every American city is now a border town.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Because the impact of the Biden administration, I mean, the count, and you wonder sometimes of the numbers you hear, but you're talking about numbers of 15 to 20 million have crossed our southern border in the last three
maybe
and a half.
Maybe more. Yeah.
In the last 3.5 years. And we have seen stories of what it's meant to cities like Chicago and New York, et cetera. Denver impacted by this. And it's not good. I mean, that's why you have complaints from people who say they vote Democrat all the time, upset with what's going on.
Right.
You know, this is going to be a huge, huge election issue.
Yeah.
And Kamala Harris may try to skate away from the title of border czar. But I saw a video this morning. This goes back to, would be 20 or 21. 21, I guess it would be. Yeah, 21. Where Joe Biden, wearing a mask, announced, made the announcement that he was, and he was so proud, that he was giving Kamala Harris the job of looking after what's going on the border. And as we, I think we talked about this earlier in the week, they're fighting this title now of border czar. But what is a czar? It's not just a leader somewhere in the world. A czar is a title given to someone who is given a responsibility.
Right.
John Kerry is the climate czar.
Yes.
For Joe Biden. She was given the task of dealing with what's going on at the border. She deserves that title, and I think Donald Trump will make her wear it.
She never complained about it before.
No, she did not.
Democrats never complained about her being the quote-unquote border czar.
Yes.
Nobody said it was an official title.
No.
It's not, you know, it's not a paid position, you know, in an appropriations bill, but mm-hmm. she's never complained about it before.
Yes.
And neither have the Democrats. So
just for a second, let's give them that point. Let's say that she was only appointed to go down and investigate root causes down
right.
in Guatemala and whatever, and she wasn't tasked with stopping or figuring out how right. to stop illegal crossers. What does that say about the Democrat Party's concern with the actual border?
Yes. Why wouldn't you appoint?
Why wouldn't you have someone?
Borders are.
Someone's going to have to go down there and figure out how to stop the 2 million people from crossing.
The problem for the Democrats is that Joe Biden didn't want anything done with the border.
That's right.
So they made it look like this is Kamala Harris's task because she wasn't doing anything anyway. All right. She would give speeches sometimes and irritate people with her word salads and her cackling. Okay. And it is irritating. I'm sorry. So she wasn't doing anything politically important. So he gave her a job.
Yeah.
All right. But the problem for the Biden administration and the problem for Kamala Harris, who's fully supportive of Biden's policies and his decision not to do anything on the border, the problem is Americans don't like it.
No.
They don't like the policy, and they don't like the fact that Kamala Harris did nothing while she had at least the opportunity to do something or speak out against it, and now they're trying to walk all that back.
Well,
so I would ask, if you had a fair media and who did their jobs, I would ask Kamala Harris, okay, let's say we grant you, to Steve's point, that the fact that you were not the border czar, do you agree with President Biden's policies? Mm-hmm. And what do you think we should do? If yes. you disagree with his policy, if you agree with his policies, then you're Joe Biden 2.0. Mm-hmm. If you disagree with his policies, what would you do, Kamala Harris, to reverse the damage done by the policies you now disagree with?
Well, we heard a clip of Kamala Harris a short time ago where she said, Joe Biden hired me to be the vice president, appointed me to be the vice president, and I made a deal with him.
Yeah.
That I would tell him how I feel about things. So if you're against what happened in the first 3 years of the Biden presidency, did you tell Joe Biden, hey, listen, I think it's a disaster at the border. We need to do something
yeah.
about it. But she didn't do that. Here's the other thing. Fox News has been airing this interview that NBC did with Kamala Harris. I think it's back 2 years ago. Madam Vice President, you haven't been to the border. And this is your responsibility. She said, we've been to the border. And the comeback from NBC was, but you haven't been to the border.
Right.
And what did she respond? Well, I haven't been to Europe either. And then she yes. cackled.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of thing that's, you know, it's going to come back to bite her. I hope NBC reminds her of that interview. I doubt it. But yeah.
So yeah. the discussion that I'm hearing going on now in Republican circles is, how do they prosecute this election now? Because if you make it about the cackle and the silliness and the lack of intelligence, you're attacking a woman. That's probably not going to yeah. go well.
No, you're right.
If it's a referendum on Donald Trump, the felon and the convictions and everything, that's probably not going to go well for Republicans. They need to attack the record.
Oh, absolutely.
She's attached. And if they, I hope they're listening. If you're listening, Mitch and folks, attack the record, because there's a lot of meat there to.
Well, we said at the in the last segment that the message should be pounded home. Are you happy with your life the last 4 years? And would you like another? Would you like another 4 year helping of what you've been going through for the 4 years? That should be the message in all of its permutations going forward. And you're exactly right. We can make fun of the cackle. Fox News can make fun of the cackle. Yeah, leave that to us. Yes, it is irritating. Look, there's a lot of things about me that are irritating. You just take that as it comes. But President Trump, if he can maintain the self-discipline he showed in that debate against Joe Biden, which sank the Biden nomination process, if he can maintain that kind of self-discipline in whatever debates or political confrontations he has with Kamala Harris, and then hammer the record, as you're saying, Steve, I think he comes out on top.
Yeah.
But you do not want to say Kamala Harris the bird brain like he did.
Or cackling Kamala. I'm not giving you an idea, Donald.
Right. He's probably going to say cackling Kamala along the way, but that should not be the focus of his message. Anyway.
All right. We continue to see the fallout from the assassination attempt at Donald Trump, and the Republicans in Congress want to put together a blue ribbon panel. They want it to be bipartisan to investigate what happened. We've already seen both the former head of the Secret Service and the FBI director, Christopher Wray, up on the Hill. Wray was on the Hill yesterday, but they want to put this blue ribbon panel together to investigate the assassination attempt, and Republicans are saying, we'll do anybody except for Mississippi Representative Benny Thompson. Why, you ask? Because Mississippi Congressman Benny Thompson introduced a measure that would strip Donald Trump of his Secret Service protection were he to end up in jail.
I'm not defending Benny Thompson, who's very liberal on a lot of issues.
Right.
This bill, this measure he put forward was before the assassination.
Oh, yes. Attempt. Yes, okay. It was, but.
It doesn't remove responsibility, but I want to make sure it's clear that he didn't do this in the wake of it.
Listen to Cut 13.
When you break the law, if there are some benefits that you are receiving before you are convicted, you lose those benefits. As you know, all former presidents receive Secret Service protection. So that's a given.
Republicans have made a lot of hay about the bill, saying it's about former President Trump and would take away his security. That just is not true. If you read it, it says you have to be a convicted felon and sentenced. Now, we're not there. The conjecture, you can do whatever you want.
Talk about disingenuous.
Fred, that's just not
that
true.
That dog ain't gonna hunt.
That's a ridiculous argument. Benny Thompson, Congressman Thompson, proposed the measure to get Trump.
Of course he did.
That's what he was trying to do. Second of all, I would say this is absolutely dangerous, because what it allows a political party to do is, first step, drum up some charge, prosecute your political opponent in a city like Manhattan, okay, where you're sure to get a conviction.
Yes.
Then you strip your political opponent of protections like the Secret Service, letting them fall prey to any whack job with an AR-15.
Yeah, you know, it's you're right. I mean, Benny Thompson introduced this before the attempted assassination of former President Trump. But you're exactly right. If anybody's in any doubt that he was aiming this at Donald Trump, think again. Benny Thompson chaired the so-called January 6th commission.
Right.
And we all know the measures that were taken for that commission to be all one-sided.
Right.
Evidence that would have helped former President Trump was just dismissed.
Yes.
You know,
two Republicans on the panel, both never Trumpers.
Yes. And Pelosi appointed them personally.
Yes.
The Republicans wanted to put Jim Johnson
Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan and Jim Banks.
Yeah, and usually for those kinds of commissions, the political head of the opposition party appoints who they want.
Yes.
Well, Nancy Pelosi said, no, we're not doing it that way this time.
Yeah. And they didn't allow any witnesses that were for Mr. Trump.
Right.
They only had witnesses come in. You talk about definition of kangaroo court.
Right.
But that was Benny Thompson's circus.
Yes.
And so any doubt that he was pointing this legislation at Donald Trump, I should go away immediately.
Yeah. And listen, I say this with the understanding that the day may come when a Democrat would fall victim to this measure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if a former president has been convicted. You still need to protect them because we are at that point honoring the office.
Yes.
And you don't want former presidents being gunned down in the street because they were found to be guilty of something. It's just not good for our republic. All right, Steve.
All right, let's do something a little different, a little fun. I got a test for you. So this is a test that was given several years ago. It was given to leading college seniors of the 55 leading colleges. It's a civics test. They did not fare very well, at least back when the test was given. But I want to ask you guys.
Oh, no.
So, Fred, you have a little bit of we're going to give you grace because you're Canadian. You might not know all these things.
So this is to talk about a kangaroo court.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're coming after me.
All right. Question number one. Can you name the five freedoms that are offered in the First Amendment?
Freedom of freedom of speech.
Religion.
Freedom of religion. The freedom to petition the government for redress of grievances. Freedom of assembly. Yeah, did I say freedom of the press?
You didn't, but that was the fifth one.
All right. That was the fifth one.
Yep. Very good. All right, who's the father of the Constitution?
James Madison. Are you wanting Fred to jump in here? Or
yes, Fred
me?
Can jump in
okay.
here.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Which of the following is required for ratification? What is required for ratification of a proposed amendment to the United States Constitution?
Agreement of all the states.
So two-thirds. Okay, I always get this backwards. So there's three quarters and two thirds. Two thirds of Congress and three quarters of the states.
Okay.
Did I get that right?
Yeah. Two thirds vote from the Senate and the House, and then a ratification by
three quarters.
Hey, Fred, the purpose of the authors of the Federalist Papers. What was the purpose of the Federalist Papers?
To get an A grade.
Wow, yeah. Very good. From the Federalist teachers.
to encourage the states to ratify it.
The Constitution.
Constitution, right.
Very good. What is the source of the phrase government of the people, by the people, for the people?
It's in the you're talking about the preamble?
I'm asking you. You asking me?
It's in the preamble of the Constitution.
You're saying the source.
The source.
Oh, the source.
Where did it start?
The individual? Are you going back that far?
No, I'm just, you can answer it.
I don't know.
Gettysburg Address.
Oh, I was thinking we the people.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. Well, we were talking about the No, you're right. We were just talking about civics. All right. You got me on that one.
How did you do, Steve?
I had the answers, so I did 100%.
Well, for being put on the spot, all right, name the Ten Commandments in order.
Thou shalt not lie.
Not in order.
Yeah, okay. Have other gods before me and all the rest of them.
Yeah, have no other gods before me, make no graven image, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. Honor your mother and father, no murder, no adultery, no lying, no stealing, no lying, no coveting. How's that?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. It's in my translation. See you tomorrow, folks.